5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show. We're going to get to the Lunch Rush top trending stories nationally in the sports world. And how about this one? Doesn't sound like Mark Davis is necessarily in a hurry to move on from Josh McDaniels. He said, Rome was not built in a day. That doesn't, I mean, when you hear that kind of thing, isn't that the old phrase that means, hey, it's going to take some time. It's going to be okay. We're going to try to figure this out. That's how I'm taking it. I don't think Josh McDaniels is going anywhere, Angel.
Doesn't sound like it.
He said, people. Like,
I get it because you want to give a new coach time to grow and get his team together. But when you add, you know, starting quarterback like Derek Carr and you give him a weapon like Davante Adams and you have a running back in Josh Jacobs, you should be able to win games.
You should be. Yeah, and again, when you look at Derek Carr, you're not seeing the same issues that you're seeing with Russell Wilson, so you're thinking, why are you not able to put this thing together? He said, Mark Davis said, people in today's world want instant gratification. The guys coached 9 games. We're 2-7, not the results we're looking for, but at the same time, we've lost 6 one-score games with the ball and a chance to win at the end. He was asked about whether or not he'd give McDaniels a vote of confidence. He said, I gave him my vote of confidence when I signed him to a contract to be coach of the Raiders. That's when I gave it to him. Rome was not built in a day.
Well, Davis can feel that way, but I don't think the players feel that way.
They're frustrated.
Going off what Derek Carr said.
Derek, that was an emotional press conference at the end, wasn't it? I mean, Derek Carr was, like, that was disturbingly sad, right? I mean, I felt terrible for the guy. And then for him to kind of question certain aspects of leadership surrounding the organization, it just makes you wonder. And again, keep this in mind, not that this really matters, but Carr and Gruden were pretty close, and it did seem like Gruden kind of had these guys going in the right direction. And then, of course, everything came out, and I get it, whatever, it's not that debate, but so Carr's been through a whirlwind there in his time with the Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders. Jeff Saturday, though, speaking of the Raiders-Colts game, Jeff Saturday, who we've made a big deal about, no experience in the coaching world, save for high school, but he got his first win as the interim head coach for the Colts. Here's Jeff Saturday after the game.
Been a tough one on all of you. Can't tell you how proud I am of each and every one of you. Coaches, players, staff, everybody stepped up. All three phases, man. Things we talked about. Offense, ran it for over 200. Threw it for over 200. Defense, shut 28 down, 77 yards rushing. Had to make a play on 17 at the end. What we do? Make a play at the end. Make a play at the end.
Hey, make a play at the end, man. Who goes hardest the longest, man? That's how this game is decided. The most physical football team won today. Can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Thoughts? Cool. The whole time he's talking, Angel, I'm thinking, you just met these dudes. Like, and he's talking like he's been there for a while.
Well, I mean, he's been in that situation before. I'm sure he's heard Peyton Manning number of locker room speeches.
He probably had, I mean, this isn't a job where you can just kind of go, I'm here, I'm going to try to feel everybody out. Good job, gang. You kind of have to play the part, don't you? You have to put both feet in and play the part.
No, you got to motivate your team. You got to have your team believe in you, that they trust you to make the right calls or put them in positions to be successful. And when everyone's rooting against you and it's just you guys, win means everything.
See, and I'm rooting for this just because I want to see what happens. If Jeff Saturday really works out, who's next? Who are we hiring next? Guys out of the booth, left and right. Tony Romo, get over here. Let's go. Let's see what happens. Let's live a little. Let's mix it up. Because look at how many coaches get fired every single year. And it's like half the league fires a coach this year, half the league's going to fire a coach next year. Here's the final story. NFL eyes games in Spain and France amid international growth. Now, obviously, the first response to my question, Angel, is going to be, it's for more money, it's for more publicity, more advertising, all that. That's the whole point when you ask, okay, what's the goal here? Well, that's the goal. Is the goal bigger than that? Do you think the NFL is potentially Like, do you think that that's really the end game here, is to build an NFL over all over the world where we have a division over, you know, two London teams, a Germany team, or maybe more divisions over there? Do you think that that's reasonable or conceivable?
It's really tough to say without knowing what the NFL's intentions are, if they want to have this as, oh, we're just going to let the world experience NFL football, but only, you know, one game every couple of months, or we'll do it in this city, in this city, in this city, and we'll spread it out and try to get people notice. And I think a lot of this is coming off of the reception that they got from the Germany game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've been in England for years, but Germany's crowd was insane.
They didn't leave. Have you ever seen that at the end of a game, win or lose, your team wins or lose? The entire stadium was still full. Like, what do they do over there? Do they have big parties in the stadium?
Beer.
That's it?
Big cups of beer.
We have beer here, but people are out the door.
But it's $20.
That's probably true.
And with the NFL trying to go global, I saw another article saying that they're looking at Brazil for a couple of games. So trying to tap into that European global soccer market a little bit. It's like, those fans are passionate. Why can't we have those passionate fans in the NFL?
Germany blew me away. I'm just watching that.
Even
going.
Tom Brady was like, that's the best football environment I've been in.
It's crazy. They were nuts. They were awesome. Like, so my brain goes to, what's the realistic possibility that we get a team overseas or a division even? And then my brain shuts off because it's not plausible. Because you're thinking about it. The draft suddenly. You got to draft players. Players are not going to uproot. Moving across the country is one thing. But you get drafted and you got to move to so-and-so to play in the NFL.
Or it's, hey, honey, I got to leave for 6 months. I'll see you next year.
That's what, you know, God love them. The guys that don't make it pro go overseas. And they love it because they get to live their dream. But is it ideal? No, they'd rather be in the NBA. They'd rather be in America. So I don't think that if that's ever the goal, and trust me, I think that those conversations are being had. I think they're being had right now. I think they're talking about what would it look like to have a team there? What would it look like to have a division there?
What if we put a team in all these cities? In Brazil,
yeah,
in Paris, Spain, England, Germany.
Yes. Because you can only grow so much here.
Right.
Now you start taking it over and you just control everything.
Oh, you can't give California or Texas another team.
No.
They have enough.
And now you've got untapped dollars over there. Guys that, fans that aren't buying the right jerseys just yet, but they will.
Oh, you watch a England or Germany game, there's jerseys of all, every team is there.
That'd be just like us if there was, you know, a global soccer game here. We'd be buying, oh, I'm going to go to the game. I guess I better wear a weird soccer hat.
I think they're trying to lean into the aspect that foreigners like American football. Like, well, that's what they're playing over there. This is American sport.
What I saw in Germany made me really, because like even with London, I'm looking at the fans and I'm like, did they really just think that you Americans and your stupid football? I'll go because I ain't got nothing else to do right now, but I'll go to watch this debacle. But in Germany, I felt like they're singing John Denver. They're having a blast. I mean, they're doing the wave, and they stayed well after the game was over.
I think they like it.
I think they love it. So. But again, the idea of, hey, we're going to create an NFC Global or an NFC Germany, and we got four teams in Germany. Let's just, I don't know. It's not realistic because they're picking from the same pool the rest of the NFL is, and you're drafting those players. That means hundreds of people that go into the draft are now like, I hope I don't get drafted. And that's not to say they hate Germany. Do you want to live in Germany or do you want to live in your country of origin if you're an American? Probably want to live in America.
The only alternative I could think when it comes to scheduling, like maybe these international teams would be international for September, October, November, December, January. They come back to the States and play all their games here.
Yeah.
You would have to half their season. And maybe that, hey, you're going to go, you know, to Spain for a couple months for training or for a couple weeks or do training camp in the United States and then go to Spain for 2 months, play 8 games there and then come back.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But then that's travel for all the other teams.
Yeah, that's what's nuts. Because, again, at the end of the day, no matter how you want to do this, the players are still going to have to be from the draft. American, for the most part, right? American players. And if... I mean, is the NFLPA cool with that? That would be something where they'd step in and be like...
Oh, then you're dealing with foreign policies,
yeah, we don't
regulations,
think that,
all kinds of stuff.
We don't think that whatever, 500 of our players should have to worry about having to uproot their entire lifestyle to go to a different country. I don't think it would stand. I don't think the NFLPA would allow it. Because I'm even thinking of the X's and O's, like not the X's and O's, but like the semantics of it. What if you were to do what professional soccer does overseas? And that's, I think, I don't know, I got this, I'm getting everything from Ted Lasso, where like the worst team in the league moves down. And then every year that secondary league, the winner moves back up, right? So could that potentially be what the NFC Global is, or AFC Global? Winner of their championship gets to play in the playoffs, first round. But again, that doesn't get rid of the whole idea that NFL players would be having to be drafted and go over there for a good chunk of their life. So I don't think the NFLPA would stand for it. So I guess when I look at this and say, what is the end game? Is this just we're going to continue to put games over there? That's what we want, is just to continue to put games over there. And I think that that's fine, but I don't think you're going to go much further than that. I don't think it's conceivable.
Reading an article here from SI talking about Roger Goodell's hopes for a four-team European NFL division, meaning it would be European-only teams. So like a Germany, a Spain, a Paris, and an England team.
But they'd have to get college players from here, right? Would it be secondary players? Like guys that couldn't make it in the NFL go there?
It's hard to say that because that doesn't seem fair.
If that's what you want,
hey, we're going to have our 7-round draft for 32 teams, 4 teams, you guys get what's left over. Then that just puts them at a lower category. And then what's the point of having it if they're not good?
And they're expecting them to compete with everybody? If that's the
Well, I mean, you got to compete with the lowest teams in the NFL.
I don't think, like I said, like I really believe this. The NFLPA, I don't think will stand for it. Because, okay, if you get a room full of, how many guys are in the draft? 7 times 32, carry the 4, a million?
230 something.
Okay. In a room full of 230 guys, how many of them are going to say, yeah, I'm good with... I mean, yeah, you got a bunch of young guys, I guess. They're typically, you know, early 20s. Maybe they don't have family. I'm just thinking of what it looks like if I get a team over there, a European team or a European division, and you got to be able to go draft from the same pool we're getting players. Because you're not getting them from anywhere else. You know, these college players... They're all these are American football. This is not, they're not playing football really anywhere else. Canada. But they're not playing football anywhere else, like what we see at this level. They might have some fun leagues and everything, but we're not seeing it to this level. So, and that's where I think the NFLPA goes, where are you getting your players from, Mr. European League? Roger Goodell, where are they going to get their players from? Well, they'll get picks in the draft just like we all do. Really? So now instead of 32, it's going to be 36, and those 4 guys that go in the first round are going to be sweating it out because they're like, man, I'm going to move away from everybody. I got to move to Germany. I got to move to London. And I'm not saying that's the worst thing in the world. Maybe some people would like that, but that's what crosses my brain. 19 minutes after the hour, could the Broncos be crippled for years to come, and is Russell Wilson bad for business? We'll talk about it next on The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. I want to shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Get that heater figured out. You're starting it up the last few weeks, and it smells weird. There's clicking. There's whatever. I don't know. Mine was weird the other day. Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you out. 970-567-0798. Get that system up to date, 24 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Holyoke says, I'd take a few German rugby scrummers on the Denver O-line. I'd take a few middle school scrummers for the Denver. No, okay. But still, yeah, I would give me somebody feisty for that offensive line.
Tell me there's not some 6'3" ninth grader out there that needs a job.
Yeah, come on. Let's get him paid. We need some help there. Somebody can snap it to Russ.
He's grown out of all of them.
Dude, Wattenberg, like, why was he even in that game, though? Like, they beforehand.
Well, the other center got hurt.
But knowing you had him as your backup, like, that's just poor planning. He wasn't ready to be in. He wasn't ready to play in the league. He's not ready yet. He doesn't know the calls. Dalton Reisner had to call everything out. And they're yelling at each other on the line of scrimmage. They had another guy, I can't think of his name right off the top of the bat, that was a center that they could have brought up that has been in games before. That should have been your backup to Graham Glasgow. And instead, it's given the injuries, too, you think there'd be a little more, you know, foresight into that of, hey, this could happen. We could lose another guy. And if he goes down, then Wattenberg is a guy. That's going to be trouble.
And the Broncos haven't really been active in terms of free agents.
No.
Practice squad guys.
I mean, at this point, like, again, Wattenberg might be good someday. I don't know. But he's not ready. He's far from ready. I mean, bad snaps. He doesn't know the calls. It's yikes. Double A texting in. Brady, I just talked to Angel on the phone. Oh, is that who you were talking to?
I think so.
About the NFL Europe. Just wanted to remind you of that. Go on.
Yeah, we're just talking about the NFL Europe developmental league in the early 2000s.
That failed miserably.
Did not take well in the United States. Apparently took well in Europe. They liked it, which I guess is what the NFL is just banking on, that, oh, they care enough about American football to sell out a stadium 8 games out of the year.
So what was it, developmental league? Was it like college players that couldn't go pro and then they went over there, like kind of just like basketball does?
There's not a ton of information from my research, but that does sound like what it was. It wasn't for high school players.
Angel, I've been saying this for years. Even the NFL, like, you've got the perfect setup. It's college football is the direct feeder into the NFL. The NFL has it perfectly. We all salivate over the idea of a football game. There's no additions. There's no semi-pro league. There's no feeder systems. They already have the perfect system.
I think if the NFL wanted to expand internationally, you'd have to start with Mexico and Canada.
Exactly.
Give Alaska.
Just like the
NBA
did, you know, they have a Canada. They had two at one point. But that's how you would do it.
And you can still have your European international games if you want. But if you're serious about expanding, you have to start as close as you can.
Seeing there that first. Like, okay, we talk about Hawaii all the time, right? We always say, oh, Wyoming's got to go down to Hawaii this week. They're an 8-point favorite, but that's because of the jet lag and then the time change. We always talk about how Hawaii could be the worst team in football, but the fact that you have to go there still means that they've got a shot. Times that by a lot more traveling all over the world. And that's the thing. Like, if we think that college teams traveling to Hawaii is a complaint, imagine what it's going to be like if you're in the NFC Global's division and Jacksonville's got to go there twice a year.
It's a 2-week adventure for these teams. You see, you know, Buccaneers and Seahawks.
They had fun.
They go out there a week early. You're in England all week long. You play a game. You get back, and then you have another 10 days before your next game. And granted, that's for recovery and rest and jet lag and all that. But that's, you know, 2 weeks where you're not playing a game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, once in a while is okay. But how do you stay committed? Like, to be honest with you, Angel, this was the worst timing for Seattle to go to Germany. They've been feeling great. They're 6-3. Everything's looking great. And then what happens?
They went in relaxed.
Boom. And then you go to Germany and you're like sightseeing. And I don't know how much they actually get a free time, but I'm guessing they get some. And it's just a different environment. It's all changed.
It's kind of like a bowl game for college.
Kind of. It's not the same. That's why I say you can't really. It's hard to judge bowl games outside of playoffs because your focus is way different. Season's over. Now you got 3 weeks until the bowl game. But you know it's done. The main work is over. The bowl game is what it is. Playoffs are different, but I just feel like Seattle, that was the worst time for them. Yeah, they enjoy going over there. It's maybe a once-in-a-lifetime or a couple times in a lifetime opportunity. But when we preach football, once the season starts, it's all about football. And then suddenly you got a mini vacation in the middle of the season. But yeah, as far as the developmental league and all that stuff, you already got it. You already got it. You don't
How many
need...
spring football leagues have we seen come and fail the last 5 years?
And the next one will fail too. What is it? Because what was it last year?
I think this year we're having the USFL and the XFL.
Yeah, and both will fail. Both are going to fail.
I couldn't name you a team from either one.
The Portland, probably it's probably something like the Portland Dragons.
Seattle Dragons.
I
couldn't tell you what league it is, but I know Seattle Dragons is a team.
But that's like, you know, there's all these little factions all over. Some in the state of Colorado. There's teams in Greeley. They're like, we're semi-pro football. No, there is no semi-pro football except for the NCAA. There is no developmental league except for the NCAA. And there is no competitor to the NFL except for the NFL. There's no competitor. They just compete with themselves. Like, it's that big, and no one will touch it. You know, that's probably safe for a lot of sports, but the NFL specifically.
Like, with the NFL, like, if they went international and it failed, they'd be fine, because there's 32 teams still in the United States.
It's a little flick. Like, it's nothing.
It's like, oh, we tried it.
The NFL could do a bunch of things, and we wouldn't care, because it's like, you're so big now that you've overcome all of that. You've overcome any kind of bad press, any kind of failed gimmicks. You've overcome it all. The XFL and the other one?
USFL.
USFL. They lasted, they're going to last two seasons. This will be their second season, right? That'll fail. I want it. Like, part of me wants it to succeed, but, you know, the same part of me that wants it to succeed, if I can spit that out, isn't watching the game. Like, I watched the championship game in the USFL. I put $5 on it. That's the only reason I watched it. Sure, I was kind of entertained, but I have no idea if I'm ever going to watch it again. I have no plans to. Meanwhile, I'll be watching a little Maction tonight, guarantee you. Don't even know who's playing. I have no idea which college football team is playing tonight. But Angel, if I'm sitting my fat butt on the couch tonight, I guarantee you at one point I'm going to go, what's on? And then I'm locked in. Dixon, I know a few fans who wouldn't mind seeing Russ be the quarterback for the Sheboygan Tunnel Diggers. Is that a team? Dixon might win Top Text Tuesday just because I like the name Sheboygan Tunnel Diggers. Like, that's the team I would like to own.
There are college games tonight.
What do we got?
Bowling Green at Toledo.
Yep.
Ohio at Ball State.
Why not? I feel like those were the exact same games as last week because it was Ball State. Didn't Ball State
all
play?
All four teams have identical records. Toledo and Ohio are 7-3. Bowling Green, Ball State, 5-5.
Wow. I'm excited about that.
Tuesday night football.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm joking saying I'm excited about it. But if I'm sitting at home, I'm going to turn it on. Now, if you tell me, hey, the USFL, whatever.
Stallions and the command. The generals.
The Commanders does sound like a USFL team.
I think it was at one point.
So you tell me that that's happening, and I'm going to go, okay.
Oh, a former quarterback that was kind of good for a year and got cut. He's playing?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Probably looks better. But no, he doesn't.
Answer me this. Play my therapist here, Angel. Why would I be more interested in Bowling Green and Toledo than I would be the Columbus Horny Toads and the Jacksonville Scissors?
Well, Brady, when we go back and look in your childhood and find those repressed memories of football, it's all NFL.
It's in college has venom to NFL. I don't care if you're Bowling Green, Toledo, or whatever. There's potential that you could be leading to an NFL. One of you guys on this team tonight could be playing in the NFL. That's
sure,
the
chances are one out of a couple hundred there. Out of those four teams.
I'll watch stuff tonight. But tell me XFL's on. I'll watch The Rock come out there and do the, it's time. You know, I'll come watch him do that.
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
But I don't care about the game. Oh, this guy could have made it in the league, but he struggled in Alabama, and then he went to Jacksonville for training camp for a while, and he just couldn't make it, and now he's back. It's really a great story. Is it? Am
PJ
I really?
PJ Walker. Are we that interested in PJ Walker, who just got benched
just
for Baker Mayfield?
A bunch of PJ Walkers, and I know your boy Kyle Sloter. Like, everybody's in love with
root for Kyle Sloter.
Obviously, but Brady, why aren't you watching USFL? Kyle Sloter's playing. And I'm like, because I'm watching
highlights after.
I'm watching Bowling Green Toledo. Two no-name quarterbacks are playing that could potentially be no-names anymore. Like, they're no-names anymore. They negate the no-no. You know what I mean? And they become names.
Matt McDonald and Daquan Finn.
And McDonald's over 2,000 yards passing, 17 touchdowns on the 17 year.
17-point spread here.
Hey!
Kind of like that.
Well, look at the Ohio Ball State game. Ohio -3.5. We got a barn burner in store for us tonight on ESPN2 at 5 o'clock.
Over under 57. Wow.
Ooh. Ooh, take it. Go over. Live dangerously.
Take Ball State?
Yeah.
And the under?
No, go. Yeah. No, go over. Go over. Ball State and Ohio? How many points is Ohio getting? How many points is it?
3.5.
Oh, yeah.
On the road?
Ohio scored 37 last week. They scored 45 the week before that. They put up 55 against Akron. They put up 59 against Fordham. They put up 41 against FAU. Dude, this is no slouch, bro. Yes, take that over. Hammer it. Go with it. I have a problem. 35 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Joining us on that hotline is Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Mike, how are you, man?
I'm good. Does Kevin Lytle know that he's doing my intros now?
Yeah, I called him real quick to do that live, and then we do it. It's weird. It's a tight ship we run here, though. He wanted to do it. You appreciate it?
How are we doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing fantastic. I'm better now. I got to see you on Saturday. That was great.
You did. It was a pleasure seeing you again.
Yeah. Well, anytime, my friend. All right, let's go. All right, don't look now, but the CSU Rams basketball team, this men's basketball team, they're on pace to never lose again, Mike. 3-0 to start the season.
Well, of course. That's what we all expected, right?
You know, hey, you got to get them when you can – take them when you can get them early. And obviously this team has, you know, going through the Isaiah Stevens injury and everything and just some unknowns. There's some guys that are flat-out playing on this team right now, and it's fun to see so far.
Yeah, what you really wanted to see is, you know, guys make that next step in the progression of their playing. And you're seeing that with John Tanjay, who you expected. And you're seeing that with Isaiah Rivera, which you'd hope to see. You're seeing it a lot with Jalen Lake, who's really, if you look at his stat lines, he's just stuffing a sheet right now. It's rebounds, it's assists. You know, he shot really well last night. And then you're getting some contributions from other people, you know, like Tavy Jackson. I think they all were very high on him, and he's played well early as a true freshman. And then it was nice to see Josiah Strong finally get some minutes last night so they could get him back and acclimated to what they hope that he'll become.
What kind of player do you think Josiah Strong is going to be? Because, again, we heard so much about him in the offseason, and then he gets sick. But I know there's a lot of Rams fans that talk really highly of this kid.
Yeah, I mean, he's somebody to give. He's going to give them a shooter's touch in the backcourt. Gives them more scoring potential. He can defend. He's experienced, so he should be calm under pressure. And you kind of like to add those things to your roster when you can. And I know it's been frustrating for him. You know, the injury or the illness that he had lingered. It came back a little bit more when he thought he was getting ready to come back to the court. So that delayed it. But, you know, again, it was good. I mean, I know Nico just wanted to get him like 10 to 12 minutes before they took him, you know, on this next road trip.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, going forward, these tournament games are always fun tests for this team, for any team, really. But you get in that tournament environment. But we've got the Shriners Children's Charlton Classic coming up. They'll have, what, South Carolina in that first game?
Yeah. So, I mean, these are good tests. You get to see teams that you don't normally get to see, and they get kind of thrown together. You know, you get an SEC opponent right off the gate in this tournament, and that'll be a great test for them. It will go ahead and give you an example of really maybe how far along that they are at this point, especially when you're talking about a team that's having to play a little bit different, not a little bit, but a lot, different style of basketball, you know, without David Roddy, without Isaiah Stevens in the backcourt to keep things calm. But the guys that are out on the court, they're very confident in the skills that they have. It's basically asking them to do what they can and see how it all mixes without, you know, them being asked to do things that they're not used to or not capable of doing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting or fun, I suppose, to just kind of see how this team does progress throughout the course of this season. And like you said, another test coming up. Okay, I started with the positive there. Over the weekend, of course, we saw the border war. Wyoming found a way. They ultimately get to keep the boot. They win 14-13 over Colorado State. Let's stay on the positive, Mike. This defense for Colorado State just continues to put up great numbers, come up with big-time stops. They're just full of guys that flat-out compete every single week.
Yeah, this is a group that's really adapted to what Freddie Banks brought in as a system. Playing with the nickel all the time, playing with just two linebackers, being able to acclimate that system to the different style of offenses as you're going to see in the Mountain West. And they've really kind of come together and grown. Now, they had an off week a few weeks ago when they went to Boise. Boise was able to run the ball. They were able to throw the ball. But then they kind of regrouped. They've come back and they've played better. They deserved a different fate than we got last week from the offense, which failed to score an offensive touchdown. And that's the second time this year.
Yeah, frustrating for sure that, you're feeling good. You see that punt return for a touchdown by Torrey Horton to start things off, and you're thinking, man, this defense continues to play lights out. If you can get just a few plays here and there by this offense, maybe they can pull this one out. But unfortunately, just couldn't get much. And Torrey Horton, man, that guy is a ridiculous athlete. Of course, I know he's probably beating himself up after that muffed punt late in the game. But, man, without him, They're probably not close in this one, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the weird thing is, like, when you talked about they didn't get much out of the offense, they did. They got yards. They just didn't get many points. So you're talking they go 2 of 3 in the red zone. Well, both of them are field goals instead of touchdowns. And the one miss was the interception into the end zone, and that doesn't help, obviously. So you've got to cut down your turnovers. I thought it was interesting. You know, Jay spoke at his press conference on Monday. Two people have beaten them in Mountain West play this year. That's been Boise and that's been themselves. And that showed up a lot. That was a game that they could have won. It's a game they should have won. San Jose State, you can say the same thing. Utah State was a game that they played well with. But they've just got to get to the point where they can finish drives and get touchdowns, not field goals.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating, because like you said, I guess where I'm saying, hey, you couldn't get anything from the offense points-wise, but you're right. You look at the yards. Avery Morrow runs for 100 yards, and Torrey Horton runs for almost 170, or has almost a 170 in receiving yards. When you look at just those two stats alone, you go, okay, surely there were a couple of touchdowns in there, and of course, neither one of them had a receiving or rushing touchdown. And so that's the part, like you said, it's just so frustrating because they're starting to open it up. We're starting to see this offense figure some things out, but still can't ultimately get what's most important and result in points.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what they've faced time after time. They've just got to finish drives. They've got to get scores in the red zone, and they've got to be touchdowns. And this is another week where you look at it. Air Force wrote about it. I mean, Freddie Banks is really excited to play defense against this team because it's such a challenge. And if Air Force keeps the ball, you get limited offensive possessions, and Jay Norvell knows that as well. So they're looking for that successful formula that, A, the offense doesn't get shorted on their possessions, but B, that they've got to cap them because it's going to be important. Because Air Force is a team. I mean, they lead the nation in time of possession. They're the only team in the country that averages more than 300 yards a game rushing. But they can be beat. Wyoming held them to less than 200. So did Boise State. Utah State held them to about 240, 250, and won a shootout. Everybody else that they've played outside of the academies who also play that style of offense, they've rushed for 400 yards against, and you can't allow that to happen.
Yeah, big one coming up. Still a rivalry game, a trophy game coming up this weekend for Colorado State. So, you know, still two games left, a great chance to try to finish on a real positive note in the month of November and set yourself up for, you know, something positive going forward. Mike, always appreciate you, man. What else can we check out from you at CSURams.com?
You know, I thought it was interesting that Jay put six players on scholarship, and one of the more curious guys for me has been Keegan Hamilton starting at center as a true freshman walk-on. So I got a chat with him today. Really nice kid. So we're going to try and tell his story tomorrow. Today, we talked about the challenge of the defense, having to face that Air Force offense and what they've been able to do because, yeah, they run the ball, but Colorado State has also been victimized by the pass against Air Force. They've thrown, they've got a touchdown pass in each of the last 4 years. They threw five combined the last 2 years, and that includes the longest play in Kansas Stadium history last year of 92 yards. So it's the thing of not getting lulled to sleep with their constant run and then them beating you over the top.
Mike, looking forward to no flea flickers, okay, like Tennessee. Just tell Air Force no flea flickers. Don't want to see that anymore.
But a lot of times they don't do that. It's not even flea flicker stuff that they've beaten CSU with. It's they lull them to sleep with the run, and then it's nice play action to where they sneak, you know, a tight end, or they sneak, you know, a wide receiver who's normally blocking on a play, and the next thing you know, they're beating them over the top.
Yeah. Well, again, can't fall asleep. And that's, you know, like I said, that's what the Broncos did against the Titans with a flea flicker. I just don't want to see it anymore, Mike. It made me very sad. I don't want to see it at all. Let's get rid of it. Mike, my friend, appreciate you as always. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, bud. Bye-bye.
No, I was just saying, like, I don't think Air Force does a lot of flea flickers. But, Angel, I'm okay if I never see one from an opposing team ever again.
But it's fun.
If it's, like, not your team that's going – if Justin Simmons is in there – do you think that they get that done? I don't think so. He's too smart of a safety. That was PJ Locke's spot. So
hard to tell.
Flea flicker. That's how good this defense is. It takes outside, you know, off the wall stuff, and yet this offense is so frustrating. 12:50 the time. Is Russell Wilson bad for business? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Your games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
You know, you think about the loss on Sunday to the Titans. You go back to the Draymond Jones comments about, hey, I'm here now, and basically non-committal on the future with the Broncos, and maybe his agent is telling him that. You start to think about that, though, in an offense that's really non-existent, that's not doing much of anything, and a coach that seems in over his head. I mean, how is this thing supposed to get better? You know, you're gonna need help in free agency. The draft will not fix this offense. You might get a player or two that can make a direct impact into the next season, but you're gonna have to do some work in free agency, especially with the lack of draft picks that you have. And I just don't look at this, and I'm asking the question: like, will free agents want to come here? Can you hang on to your own would-be free agents, the Draymond Joneses of the world? I mean, I'm thinking of all the major needs on offense. Well, take your pick of offensive linemen. Is there anybody on that line that you're set on, that you're just good with? Garrett Bowles? No. Even before he got hurt. Dalton Risner? Stayed healthy. Maybe him calling plays for Wattenberg actually helped his stock go up a little bit with George Payton. Center position, Cushenberry. Okay. When he's healthy, he's all right. He's good. Right guard. Miners. Okay, you kind of like Miners. Right tackle? No. That's a point of need. You're going to need another tight end. You like Greg Dulcich, but are you sold on any other tight end on this team? Running back? Going to need a backup or two. Because you've stitched this thing together with three free agents. You have a lot of needs on the offensive side. And that's just the offense. Can you keep this defense intact? Can you keep a guy like Draymond Jones? You're going to have to, and it's only year two, but you're going to have to start thinking about Patrick Surtain's long-term contract. Does he want to be here? A lot of questions, man. This thing could get out of hand. This organization could be crippled for years to come. We'll talk about that more on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.